You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.
Hello and welcome to Line Noise once more. And Emma-Jean Thackray was a brilliant guest to have on. Her second album, Weirdo, is a modern classic. And if you don't like it, quite frankly, you are wrong. I've just been going over my albums of the year of 2025, and it is right at the top. It's an astounding piece of work. Very, very moving. Really, really incredible album. I've become a sort of I'm trying to sell it to everyone, trying to make everyone listen to it, because you must. Anyway, all of that, it was an absolute pleasure to do an interview with Emma-Jean. She played in Barcelona, and we spoke about pitch dark humour. She's got a very dark sense of humour. A jazz club, the famous fast show sketch, which I love, about reclaiming the word weirdo, and also slightly more spiritually, I suppose, the saving power of music. I really enjoyed speaking to her. Go and listen to Weirdo and listen to this interview, please. Line Noise comes to you with the support of Cupra.
Thank you so much for coming along, Emma-Jean Thackray. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for chatting to me.
Your album from earlier this year, Weirdo, is an absolutely amazing piece of work.
Thank you.
I hope you don't mind if I say that when I first heard it, I was quite shocked. Is that a sort of reaction other people have been having?
I think you were the first person that said shocked. But yeah, I think there's been some really positive reactions, which is great. I think a lot of people have resonated with it. So I'm, so chuffed about that.
I mean, I think I said shocked because it's, for me, it's maybe unusual to hear such really direct emotion on record. I mean, I was just listening now again, and something like, I don't want to be, so please let me sleep. That's an incredibly direct line. Mm. Were you sort of worried about putting that amount of yourself out there?
So when I was making it, for me, the whole process was a therapy. It was actually just something for me, and I kind of forgot that other people were going to eventually listen to the music. It was a very selfish endeavor, I think. And I don't mean selfish in a negative way. I mean, it was me putting myself first and trying to just do what I needed. And then once I finished it, I was like, oh, people are going to have to listen to this. And not only that, I'm going to have to sing these words on stage. And that's when I sort of realized how vulnerable I'd been and took stock of what I'd done.
I mean, what's it like singing it live?
I love it. I'm so grateful for performing. It's something that has always been my safe place. It's when my brain goes quiet and I feel at peace. But it's also been previously something that I took for granted in a way. It was something that I knew was my purpose. So I was like, well, of course I should be performing. This is what I'm supposed to do. And then after everything in my life sort of changed, I realized that it's not a given that we get to do what we want. And now I'm just so much more grateful. And I did have one moment earlier in the year, like one of my first gigs of doing this new work, and I ended up crying in the middle of a song. But I felt so held by everyone in the room that I'm not worried about that anymore.
It reminds me a little bit of In Utero, the album. You're a Nirvana fan, aren't you?
Love Nirvana. Mm.
Do you think that's a fair comparison? I mean, not so much musically, but I think in what it transmits, maybe.
I mean, I'll definitely take that. I love Nirvana. I love the directness of Kurt's lyrics, and he's someone that I've looked to since I was 13 years old. I love how open he's always been, but with an edge of silliness. And I think that's definitely what I'm doing in Weirdo.
You said silliness.
Mm.
So there is humour in the record. I think this is something when I first, got over, as I said, that initial shock. And I did notice that there's humour in the album. How important is that in your work?
I think it's really important that people see that side of me. I'm definitely a silly person. If you know me personally, I'm obviously, I can talk about very serious things, and we can have in-depth conversations about philosophy or, you know, the universe, but I also, I'm just a silly girl as well. And I think when you talk about things that are really heavy, that are full of darkness, for me, I think you have to balance that and you have to bring the silliness and show the duality of life. And for me, that's by injecting some of that sarcasm that I have naturally into the lyrics.
I mean, one really good example I thought is the video for Wanna Die, which is like basically sort of slightly mocking the old jazz club. Well, I don't know if mocking, no, but like recreating the old jazz club sketch from The Fast Show.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly... Yeah, that's definitely one of the inspirations. And actually, John Thompson was gonna be in the video.
Really?
But then just at the very last minute, like a couple of days before, he just couldn't do it. So then we got on the phone to Giles Peterson and said, do you want to put on one of your nice suits and come pretend to be John Thompson from Fast Show? And he was like, I wouldn't do this for anyone else, let's just say.
I was going to say, but he looks really good, isn't he? He looks like he's really enjoying it.
He did great. I mean, the fact that I was directing it, I think really helped, because he sort of knew that I wasn't going to get him to do anything that he was uncomfortable with.
What does make you laugh? I mean, do you have like, what kind of thing?
I think the absurdity of life. I think something like... Even just thinking about Fast Show, those jazz club sketches make me absolutely howl with laughter, because it is so silly, but there are pockets of like actually really good playing in there. And I think that's what makes it great, that you can take something that's full of technical prowess and just be really daft with it. I think, yeah, that makes me laugh.
I want to ask about the jazz label, because you're often considered a jazz musician, but Weirdo is all over the place. I mean, there's jazz, there's funk, there's rock, there's all kinds of things. I mean, how do you feel about a jazz label or just labels in general?
I'm okay with a jazz label. I mean, with my music, I think, as you said, it's coming from so many different places. I guess I consider myself a jazz musician that doesn't make jazz or doesn't make only jazz. But for me, jazz is a language, and that's the language I'm using. But I think we can say anything with that language, in the way that now we're speaking English and we can say anything we want. I think we can do that with the jazz language. So if I want to put a distortion pedal on some guitar or have some wah on a bass, I can say anything with the language of jazz, if that makes sense.
I mean, you seem to be a very free artist, as in like there's nothing, you don't feel constricted by any kind of confines, right?
Yeah, I feel absolutely, just comfortable in doing whatever my inner ear tells me to do and just following that honest kind of like creative pursuit inside. I'm never sitting down and thinking, oh, I should do a jazz tune, or I haven't done a rock tune in a while, or I'm never thinking like that. It's just, this is what's coming out today, and it's following that and being honest and organic about it, I think.
If you don't mind me asking, so the Widow was initially, there was a first iteration of the album, right? Then it changed because very sadly your partner died. I'm so sorry to hear that. What was the first iteration like?
I mean, it was still very early days. It was supposed to be a celebration of my neurodivergence and my brain that at times has been very difficult to live inside, and trying to come to a place of feeling a sense of acceptance and celebration of like, yes, but it shaped me and who I am. So I'd written the title track, Weirdo. I'd written a couple of choruses of some other ones, but I hadn't got too stuck into it because I was really burnt out from touring in 2022. And then everything came, after I lost my partner. I took 6 months of doing nothing but staring at the wall, and then knew that if I was going to be here, I needed to live my purpose and make music. So, yeah, got stuck into the album, and it took about a year.
If I may ask, was there ever a moment where you thought you weren't going to make music anymore?
Yes, but in a... I wasn't sure I was going to be here at all. So that was... I definitely couldn't make music if I wasn't here. Yeah, that was kind of where my brain was at the time.
I know it's kind of a cliche, but did music help you out of kind of hard times?
Yeah, for me, it's everything. I've not just after losing my partner, but before that, I had like a lot of bouts of difficult mental health issues, and it's always been like a lifelong battle of the anxiety and depression that can come from being neurodivergent. So yeah, music has always been the thing that has calmed me, and it's how I emotionally regulate. It's how I process.
Is there like one song or one artist you reach for when you really kind of need something from music? Like,
I think it's sometimes singing my own songs, which I hope doesn't sound conceited. But like, if I'm just sort of feeling a bit like panicky or anxious, I might play some guitar, I might do some singing, and it tends to be like composing, like making things up. So things that inevitably end up becoming my music, I guess, is the seed of that.
I mean, how do you look back on Yellow, your debut album now, which is a fantastic record as well, but I would say comes from quite a different place.
It's very different. Yeah, Yellow is very much about looking outward and being like, this is what I think about the universe and these different concepts of like the idea of God and the idea of gratitude. It's all very outward looking. And then Weirdo is very introspective. I'm definitely looking inside and being like, these are my feelings, and it's not very outward looking. Well, it is at points.
I think you said that you're reclaiming the word weirdo. Mm. What does it mean to you?
Yeah, I've been called that in a very negative way my whole life. I'm definitely, even using the lyrics, like things that people have said to me, like in the song Weirdo, there's things that people have said that I've tried to flip into song lyrics, and yeah, reclaiming it, trying to be like comfortable with the things that make me different. They definitely come with negatives, but they also shape who I am. They shape my music, they shape my art. So there must be something good there too.
Talking of the sense of humour, I think the sense of humour, the cover of the record has you in a bath and then you realise there's a toaster on the edge of it. Is that kind of your sense of humour?
That's definitely my sense of humour, like very dark, and in a way that I might say something in a conversation and people might not realise it's a joke immediately. That's kind of what I wanted with the album cover. So yeah, there's lots of like, yeah, balance of duality in that as well, because it's like, I'm not wearing any clothes, so I'm very, like, literally very naked and vulnerable, but I'm also wearing, like, full glam makeup. And there's a toaster on the edge of the bath, but there's also a rubber duck. It's, yeah, it's very silly in my mind.
I think I read somewhere that your mum had something to say about the cover.
Yeah, my mum hates it. Yeah, she was like, is that done on computers, or are you actually naked in the bath? I'm not sure I like this. And I said, it's too late. And then when she heard the music, she's like, I can't believe you're swearing in the songs. I don't like that at all. And I had to be like, I am in my 30s and I haven't lived with you for half my life, so I can do what I want.
She didn't like the swearing.
She doesn't like the swearing. Yeah.
It's not that much swearing, is there?
There's a couple words, and I think the fact that I did it at all, she wasn't that happy with.
You have, I don't know, have you always DJed, or is it something you're doing a lot more of now?
Yeah, I've always DJed. I think people are often quite shocked when they come see me DJ, because if you're expecting a bunch of jazz and soul, you might get that, but most likely you're going to get a bunch of house and techno, and it's going to be a lot heavier than you expect.
Because I've just literally forgotten which song it is, but there's a remix that's just come out, right?
Save Me. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Is that kind of quite typical of what you play, your style, or?
Yeah, I mean, so I've done remixes for other people, not for a few years, because I just sort of took a break from doing that. And it was also a little bit lighter and, you know, fun stuff that I really enjoyed doing, but not necessarily stuff I would DJ myself, at least as we get into the night. I might play at the beginning of the night. So I wanted to just, yeah, remix myself and extend that universe, because it's me doing all of the record of Weirdo. I'm like playing everything. I'm producing it, mixing it, recording it. And I wanted to extend that and be like, yeah, you know, here's my remix, here's my reimagining of my own song. And it's been really fun playing that out, actually, DJing. It's been great.
It's hard.
It's really hard. It's so bassy. And yeah, I've even adapted it again and done like a remix of the remix to play it live with the band as well. So yeah, it's fun.
What's the best thing about DJing compared to playing live and vice versa?
It's nice playing other people's songs and being able to create a journey for people using other people's music, because when I play live, I don't do any covers. It's just like, here's my music. When you're DJing, it's nice to be able to like follow the crowd and be like, oh, I think this would go down really well, and to get people singing or, you know, moving a certain way. It's nice to be able to pull from, like, you know, the extensive library of the world rather than just my own catalogue.
Finally, are you happy with Daniel Farker's work at Leeds United?
I'm very happy. I think all the people that ask for him out as soon as anything goes wrong are insane. I think he's adapted. He's done everything he's promised in terms of, like, you know, being a hard to beat outfit in the Premier League. I think we look like we deserve to be there. We're missing a few players, but I think we've got a really good squad mostly. And I think, apart from the Arsenal blip that we maybe will try and forget, I think everything at Leeds has been great, and, you know, LUFC forever.
Can I just say, as a Norwich City supporter, when we sacked him, it went all downhill. So yep. To be very, very careful. Also, I love him more than I think my firstborn child. So there we go.
A lot of people say that about Bielsa as well. And I think if Leeds United didn't have Bielsa, people would think that way about Farker at Leeds as well. I think there'd be a lot of arses tattooed with Daniel Farker's face. I might even do one myself.
And on that note, thank you.
You're listening to Radio Primavera Sound, proudly presented by Cupra.